The Center for Science and Culture at Discovery Institute is hosting two intensive 9-day seminars for college students this July in Seattle. For details, visit discovery.org/sem. That's www.discovery.org/SEM. The first track is a seminar on intelligent design in the natural sciences, which prepares students to make research contributions advancing the growing science of intelligent design. The second track, the C.S. Lewis Fellows Program on Science and Society, explores the growing impact of science on politics, economics, social policy, bioethics, theology, and the arts. Applicants for each program must be currently enrolled in a college or university as a junior, senior, or graduate student. Students selected will be provided with course materials, lodging, and most meals. Travel scholarships are available and will be awarded based upon need after acceptance into the program. For application information and other seminar details, please visit discovery.org/SEM. That's www.discovery.org/SEM.
Hello and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. I'm very pleased today to have on the show with us a very good friend of mine, Mr. Ryan Huxley, who is president of the Intelligent Design and Evolution Awareness Center, or the IDEA Center for short. Ryan is a professional engineer who works in San Diego, California, and he has been president of the IDEA Center for how long, Ryan? How many years has it been now that you've been president of the IDEA Center?
I guess it's about 3 years now.
Okay, well, Ryan, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
It's long overdue that we have you on the show, Ryan, for a few reasons, one of which is I'd love to be able to have a discussion with you about the IDEA Center and what the IDEA Center does. But second, you've been actually producing study guides lately for some Illustra Media videos and documentaries on intelligent design that I think our listeners are probably very familiar with and would probably be interested to find out about because they might want to use these study guides. And so we're here today to talk about your own personal story and journey learning about intelligent design, as well as the IDEA Center, and then to talk about these study guides and how our listeners can get a hold of those. So if you don't mind, Ryan, could you first just tell us a little bit about what is the IDEA Center and maybe how did you get involved in it?
Well, the Intelligent Design and Evolution Awareness Center, which is a little bit of a tongue twister, which is why we go by IDEA Center instead, is actually a group that helps to start clubs on university campuses and colleges throughout the U.S. and throughout the world as well. And also, we have a few in high schools and some that are outside in the community as well. And these clubs are supposed to be places where people can explore origins, issues, and topics, hopefully in an atmosphere that's friendly where they don't have to fear about somebody jumping down their throat, because this topic can be pretty passionate at times. So we hope that by providing these kinds of clubs, students can explore the things that they don't often hear in school.
Full disclosure should allow me to say, Ryan, that I am still involved with the IDEA Center. The first IDEA Club was at UC San Diego back in the late 1990s. When I was a student there, I co-founded it with some friends. This was long before I ever thought about working at Discovery Institute. And in fact, the IDEA Center was founded in 2001 as a nonprofit to help other students to start IDEA Clubs on their own campuses. And even at that time, I had no clue that I would ever end up working at Discovery Institute. So IDEA Center and Discovery Institute are separate organizations. They have separate boards of directors. They have totally separate people who are involved. Aside from the fact that I do work with both, that's really, as far as I'm aware, the only crossover that has been there. And again, the organization started long before I came to Discovery. So they are separate groups, but obviously they're very much kindred spirits. And so happy to be able to talk about the IDEA Center with you on ID the Future podcast today. Ryan, if you could maybe tell us a little bit more about your own story, how did you first learn about intelligent design? Were you always a Darwin skeptic, or was this something you had to investigate and study for yourself? What is sort of your own personal journey of how you became a skeptic of Darwinism and a supporter of intelligent design?
Well, I actually used to think that evolution was a realistic explanation for how things came to be. In fact, I even had an internship at the San Diego Supercomputer Center where I was doing some research and some work on tumor growth and trying to come up with constitutive equations for how that might be explained from an engineering perspective. So you can actually go back and read one of the papers that I wrote about that just in the Gather Scatter magazine, and you can see the undertones of evolutionary thinking there. It wasn't actually until I was done with school and working that a coworker suggested that I read Darwin on Trial. And after I read that, I was surprised to learn some of the counter evidence and reasoning that was put forth in that book. And he also suggested that I maybe take a look at the idea club that was at UCSD. And so I did and was surprised to read up on that on the website and ended up giving you a call. And I guess they say the rest is history.
Yeah, I'm so glad you did, Ryan, because we've been very good friends for a long time now, all because you came to some Idea Club activities back in the day. So you did not start off, obviously, as a supporter of intelligent design. You were brought there by the evidence. You, however, do have some training in technical fields. You have a bachelor's and master's degree in engineering from UC San Diego, which has a great engineering program. I had a lot of folks that I knew there when I was a student who were engineering majors, and you got 2 degrees there in engineering. So I'd like to ask you a question, and I know this is a question that you and I have talked about many times over the years, but how does your training as a professional engineer give you insights into intelligent design?
Well, it's relatively straightforward, but because of the training and the professional practice that I'm involved in, I can identify the kinds of hallmarks that are associated with design systems. And those kinds of things often jump out at me when I start looking at some of the molecular machines that I see or some of the informational systems and networks that are apparent in the genetic code and epigenetics as well. So being able to see hierarchy of systems and how they relate with each other and how these various properties that when they come together, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts is something that is common in engineering. And seeing that kind of molecular behavior in the cell and other things like that just makes it very clear to me that these kinds of things are designed.
I appreciate your perspective, Ryan. For example, I can share an anecdote of something that you've taught me in the past. A lot of times, ID critics will say, well, in some systems, there seem to be redundancy, where you will have backup systems in case the primary systems fail. And they will actually say, this is unnecessary. This looks like actually poor design. The fact that there are multiple systems to do one function, a good designer wouldn't need multiple systems. A good designer would do it right the first time, essentially. And Ryan, you looked at this and you told me, actually, this is a basic fundamental engineering principle at work that we see in biology, that it's good to have redundant systems, where if the primary system does fail, you have a backup system. And obviously, we live in an imperfect world where things fail. And so if you're looking for a good design principle in the real world that we live in, this is a good design principle to have built-in redundancy. And so, Ryan, you've actually taught me things about what good design looks like, what some of the hallmarks of design are, and how I think some evolutionists who maybe don't understand those principles will miss design. Any comments on that?
Yeah, well, one of the things that you could sort of summarize the basic engineering principle when it comes to using redundant systems, and that's pretty simply put as don't put all your eggs in one basket. So the idea of having these other systems to try and make sure that you have some backup plan or plan B, if you will, or C or D as the case may be, is something that is typically used in a lot of engineered systems. In fact, when it comes to structural design, this is actually essentially a code requirement that the lateral force resisting system, that is the system in a building that helps resist earthquakes and wind forces, must have a certain amount of redundancy. This is actually primarily in the seismic portions of the code rather than the wind, but it still applies as far as the way that the building is going to behave. And something else that is often overlooked is they think that if a design fails, as they would say, then it seems like then it's a poor design. It should not have failing at all. And yet, I can tell you from a structural engineering perspective, we actually design for specific targeted failure so that you have, in a sense, a fuse for where a building will predictably fail. And now fail is kind of a tricky term when it comes to engineering, especially in structural design. You don't want to say that the building fails, but you have specific systems that will yield and behave in a ductile fashion or behave in a predictable way, such that the building will remain standing and the occupants can get out of the building without having an entire building collapse. So engineers actually do design for failure, but they design for failure in a specific fashion that is predictable and should not pose a life safety threat.
This is why I appreciate talking to you, Ryan. You always give insights into the way that engineers think. And I think one other point also is that every single engineered system that has failed was engineered, right? So just because a system fails doesn't mean that it wasn't engineered. I think a lot of ID critics will point to what they call poor design and say, see, look, it failed. Well, in our experience, does failure of a system necessarily mean that it wasn't designed? No, not at all. That's a very illogical and goes against what our observation-based experience tells us about engineered systems. Okay, that's a lot of fun to talk about, but we have an official reason for talking today that I think we should turn to here. Although we do appreciate your insights, Ryan, as a professional engineer, a structural engineer, right? You actually do practice in the field of structural engineering.
That is correct.
Okay, so let's turn our attention now to some of these study guides that you have created for some of the well-known Illustra Media videos that I think a lot of our listeners have seen. First off, what are some of the study guides you've created for these Illustra Media videos?
I've created about 5 of them now, and they are Unlocking the Mystery of Life, Where Does the Evidence Lead, The Privileged Planet, Darwin's Dilemma, and most recently, Flight.
Okay, so if you are an ID the Future listener and you're a fan of some of these well-known ID videos, Unlocking the Mystery of Life, Privileged Planet, Darwin's Dilemma, Where Does the Evidence Lead, and the newest one, of course, Flight. If you're a fan of those videos and you want to be able to host maybe some kind of a small discussion group with some friends or colleagues or maybe an idea club, after you've watched these videos and you want to talk about the videos and learn more, these study guides that Ryan Huxley have created are a great resource for you. So my next question is, Ryan, how much are you charging for these study guides?
Well, there is a high price for them. It's basically free.
All right,
great.
You
just have to log in.
You just have to have internet access. And where can folks download these study guides?
They go to the Idea Center website. They will be able to find them on the left-hand side under the news and events. So if they go to www.ideacenter.org, Idea Center is all one word.
Okay, so great. Free study guides for Illustra Media videos. Go to ideacenter.org and look on the left-hand side. You'll see a link for where folks can download those videos. So what inspired you to create these video study guides? Obviously, there's a lot of different ways that you have contributed to the ID movement, and there's a lot of different ways you could. Why did you decide to focus your time and energy on creating these study guides for these Illustra Media documentaries?
Well, I had created some short and simple questions in the past in preparation and anticipation of future IDEA classes that were going to be taught. And I happened to meet Tyler Geffeny at an event where they were showing some of the Illustra Media videos, and I asked him if they were ever going to make any study guides for these, and something with a discussion question, something like that. And he said they would like to, but they just didn't have the time given all the other activities they were involved in. So I asked him, well, is it okay if I go on ahead and put something together? And I showed him some of the initial things that I had, and he said, sure, go on ahead. And I guess, as they say, the rest is history. So Illustra has been very supportive in providing the great content with the images that they're so well known for, with the stunning graphics and computer animation that are just the hallmark of their great videos and films and documentaries. So they were very encouraging as I was working through these to try and bring something that would be of value to people who are watching their films.
Yeah, I think that's a point worth bringing out, Ryan, that these study guides are actually approved by Illustra Media, the creators of the original documentaries. It's got an Illustra Media graphic logo right next to the Idea Center logo at the bottom of the first page, because they support the work that you're doing. And I think it's worth noting that you really have their full support in creating these. So who are these study guides written for, Ryan? Are they written for experts, people with PhDs, or for more of a lay audience? Who's your intended user of these study guides?
Well, it's actually a pretty wide audience. It would be from everyone from a novice or beginner to maybe more of an expert, so to speak. There's 3 different types of questions that are in each of the chapters. And by the way, the chapters of the discussion and study guides do try to follow the chapters in the film so that it's very easy to keep track of which questions apply to which sections in the videos. So there's 3 different styles of questions. There's basic questions, which are short answer, fill in the blank, short phrase answers, and those are just directly from the video, very straightforward. Those are probably more for like middle school and above. Then there are discussion questions. The discussion questions are still based upon the video content, but they're going to require a little bit more thinking, some longer explanations for the answers. Logical reasoning is often used. And then there's the last category, which is the discussion questions beyond the video. Those questions, while related to a topic covered in the video, go through material that's actually not specifically or explicitly covered in the film. So people will need to be familiar with some of the intelligent design concepts or evolutionary concepts beyond just what is noted in the documentaries. So this may require a little bit of homework, so to speak, for them to look at. So this would be probably more for college level and beyond for those kinds of questions. But the good thing is that a lot of the questions have answers in the back, so people don't necessarily have to go through and search all by themselves. At least right now, we do have the answers in the back, though we may offer them separately in the future to make it easier for schools to make use of these so that there'll be a student version and a leader version. But time will tell.
Well, this is great, Ryan. You've really done a real service, I think, to the whole ID community and folks out there who are interested in intelligent design. If you love Illustra Media's documentaries and you want to have a study guide that you can use to maybe talk about the videos with a friend or a small study group, these study guides are excellent resources. And so, Ryan, on behalf of anybody out there who's going to be using these, thank you for the time you put in to creating these study guides.
You're welcome. I hope that they are fully used. One of the things that I also want to point out that makes these discussion and study guides of additional value is for many of the films, they came out quite some time ago. So for the discussion questions beyond the video, there's a lot of new material that's provided that was not in the original films because there's been new research and findings that help support intelligent design. If you're thinking that you're already pretty familiar with the film and the topics covered in the film, you might want to take a look at the discussion questions beyond because that brings in new research, some of it even as recent as 2013 or 2014.
Well, great. Well, again, if our listeners want to check out these study guides for Illustra Media documentaries like Unlocking the Mystery of Life, Privileged Planet, Darwin's Dilemma, Where Does the Evidence Lead, or Flight, you can go to www.ideacenter.org. Look on the left side under News and Events, and you'll find a link to the documentaries. So, Ryan Huxley, thank you so much for your time and for coming on the show with us today.
Great to be here. Thanks again.
I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2014. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.